Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
8:14 now, Monday morning, September 9th, the day after the Saints' big victory yesterday, 2 days after LSU's victory over Nicholls State, and 2 days before we're supposed to be impacted by this storm down in the Gulf. Jeff Palermo, and we'll give you the latest on that throughout the morning. Jeff Palermo joins us now, our friend, WWL.com, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing well, Tommy. How are you doing?
I am okay, sir. Tell me about the LSU-Nicholls game.
Well, I think it was a lot closer than most people expected. Nicholls, I mean, they were within 2 points there in the third quarter after Colin Guggenheim, who, one of my favorite high school football players that I had a chance to cover. He was the quarterback at John Curtis, and he's really developed into a really good running back for the Nicholls Colonels, busted off a long touchdown run. Well, it's a hard game to gauge, Tommy, because, and I know fans don't really want to hear about excuses, but you geared up for the season opener against USC. You played that game on a Sunday night. You got back into Baton Rouge Monday morning at 5 a.m. And then you have to play a team that's in a lower division. You're going up against the Nicholls team where most of the kids that are on that team are from Louisiana, dreamed of playing in Tiger Stadium, are sky high for the game, and LSU is a bit flat. And you get performances like what you saw in the first 30 minutes of that game. But that still doesn't excuse the fact that LSU allowed Colin Guggenheim to have a big night running the football. LSU once again had trouble running the football, even though Coach Brian Kelly said, hey, we checked out of a lot of run calls to go to pass because they are crowding the box. But still, someone like Caleb Jackson, you were hoping would kind of find his footing, was unable to do that. It's clear LSU can throw the football. Big game once again from Garrett Nussmeier, 6 touchdown passes. But probably the biggest storyline from the game for me, Tommy, is the loss of Jacobian Guillory. Mm-hmm. Tore his Achilles tendon in the game, out for the year. It's at a position that, frankly, they can't afford to have any major injuries. And they really, if you thought about it before the season, if there was one guy on defense that you could have ill afford to lose, it was him.
He was the best defensive tackle they had, pretty much.
Yes, and had the most experience. Even though he only had a handful of starts during his career, he's played a lot at LSU. So now you got a lot of inexperience there. And it's going to be a huge concern.
And did you say it's a torn Achilles?
Yeah, torn Achilles tendon. Yeah, so that's it for him. So just a brutal loss for LSU defensively.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between excuses and reasons. I honestly do.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And I think in this case, and look, I understand LSU fans, but a big part of this is what you just said about, you know, you got the big opener against USC. You're all geared up for that. Then you don't get back until 5 o'clock on Monday morning,
right,
which really does throw all of the circadian rhythms off and everything else. Then you got to get everybody rested. You still got to get practiced. Coaches got to get game plans in and everything else. So all that work continues. I know they have a lot of help. I get all of that.
Yes.
But when it comes to running the ball, I think, specifically offensive line play, I think that has a lot to do with will and determination and being fired up or not. And I think also it is kind of hard for LSU as a team, and Brian Kelly took ownership of this, saying he's got to coach him better. But I think it's hard to get a team to go from that to get gear, given the travel considerations and everything else, get geared up to play Nicholls. No disrespect, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, no, there's no doubt about it. And you could try to coach it up. You could try to talk it up as much as you want as a coaching staff. But, hey, you go back even to the 2019 season, right? Greatest LSU football team ever. They struggled for a half against Western Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happens. It happens. But there are some things you can pick out of that game, And Coach Brian Kelly talked about it afterwards, about dominating at the line of scrimmage, that they need to start doing that and allowing a team like Nichols to run the ball as well as they did, especially in the first half, and then that long run by Guggenheim, and then LSU's inability to run the football. We have now seen that here for eight quarters when it comes to LSU football. There is no doubt that this LSU offensive line, which was missing one of its starters on Saturday night, Dellinger did not play, but there is no doubt that this LSU offensive line is probably the best pass-protecting offensive line in the country. I mean, Nussmeier has been barely touched through two games this season. But what we have seen, and it's pretty much the same offensive line that we saw last year, and even last year, it could not develop really a traditional running game. And so we've seen it for a long time here, and they have not been able to do that. It's been a very disappointing start to the season for Caleb Jackson, for a guy that a lot of people expected to really have a huge season this year. And he's averaging, I think, less than 3 yards a carry. So these are things that they'll be working on this week as they get ready for the SEC opener against South Carolina.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back talking to Jeff Palermo. I do think when it comes to not the skill positions, but when it comes to line play, both defensive and offensive, so much of that, Jeff, do you agree or not, is about state of mind and about imposing your will and being in the right frame of mind and being – you understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, I know going into the USC game, they talked a big game. They seemed like they were in the state of mind that they wanted to dominate USC, and I'm talking about LSU's offensive line. And they went into that game thinking they could dominate the Trojans at the line of scrimmage, and they did not. There is some talent that comes into play here, some technique. There is just something that they're lacking when it comes to not being able to really just dominate the line of scrimmage when it comes to running the football.
That is a good point as well. 820 Traffic Now, WWL.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
A26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director about LSU's game. And look, ABC is, and ESPN and Disney are having it out with DirecTV and UVerse, and I don't care about any of that, but I'm telling you right now, I'm getting ready to just unplug the entire damn thing and just put it rabbit ears up. I am, Jeff. I'm just let everybody know that.
Yep. You can always listen to the game at WWL Radio.
Well, yeah, and I think it's going to be on ABC, right?
Yes, it will be on ABC. So College Game Day will be there too, which kind of gives you an idea of how light of a football weekend it is schedule for college football. I mean, LSU and a South Carolina team that is kind of a meh team in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, let's look ahead to that. What can you tell me about South Carolina?
Well, South Carolina did have an impressive win. I mean, they blew out Kentucky, played outstanding defense, forced some turnovers. Really good win for Shane Beamer's team at South Carolina. And they've had some good wins with Shane Beamer as the head coach there. They've pulled off some good victories, but they're not – I think I saw today LSU's favorite by 6.5 or so, a touchdown favorite going into this game. So it's not LSU should be able to go in there and win. I mean, South Carolina didn't look very good in its opener, but they did rebound and played really well, inspired football against Kentucky. So it's not going to be an easy task. I think it's maybe if you want to look at it glass half full, Tommy, probably good that they struggled against Nichols, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's going to be a little more, even more attention to detail based on the fact that they didn't play very well in that first half. And I think it comes down to a lot of what we were talking about in the first segment, and that is whether LSU will have the ability to control the line of scrimmage against the Gamecocks.
See, now that is going to be the prover right there, because, okay, maybe USC was better on a defensive front than we thought, all right? So that being the case, and if you're going to say that they were tired on Saturday night and not really up for Nichols, however you want to say it, well, then maybe we get a real feel for it this Saturday. Thoughts?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think you get a better idea. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be some challenges for this week as well. Obviously, we got a hurricane that's coming to Louisiana.
And, tell me about that. I wanted to ask you about that. Thank you, Jeff, because I got so many things on my mind. It kind of slipped with getting ready for the next weather segment. How, you know, can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah,
tell me
right.
about that with preparations.
Well, I would imagine, you know, I don't. We'll have to wait and see. I think that hopefully the 10 o'clock update from the National Hurricane Center gives us a little bit more of an idea. But you know, Wednesday could be a potential day where you know they'll maybe practice in the morning and then hunker down for the day. They should be able to fly out with no problem. The storm will be out of here by the time Friday rolls around. So should not. They should be able to fly out and all that. I think it's mainly going to change preparation Wednesday and Thursday. And then obviously the big factor is power outages, right? You just hope you don't have a bunch of players that are living in apartments that don't have any power. But then again, look at LSU's Football Operations Center. You can spend a night there.
Yeah, that's
better. That's better than a 5-star hotel for most people.
It would seem like, I guess those places, I was going to ask you that, are they generator powered or whatever? Because
you would think
that the LSU players having to live without power, I don't know how many of them are married, have family.
Right.
I don't know anything about that, because some of them been in school 15, 20 years. You know, some of them, they get a gold watch when they retire. They don't get a diploma. But the point I'm making is you would think that would be a minimal distraction. You would hope, at least.
You would hope, but it is going to be a challenge. But getting back to that South Carolina defense, five sacks, intercepted a couple passes against Kentucky. Big win for them. And so LSU's offense, can they run the ball? We know they can throw it with Nussmeier, but, man, Brian Kelly continues to look for that complimentary offense.
Let's hope they put it all together. Thank you, Jeff. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, Tommy.
Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Quick break. Come back. Talk to Dane Ciolino, professor of law at Loyola, about maybe charging parents as a way to stop school shootings. News, weather, more now with WWL First News.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.